You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
This is Brother Don, and we're now talking about a counseling inventory from Proverbs 31. Quite a few years ago, Proverbs 31 struck me as a bit like a counseling inventory that would be helpful for people planning to get married. Today, I think it could also be used for people that are already married. It basically takes the characteristics described, but in gender-neutral terms, so that it works for both men and women. I found nearly everything stated about the virtuous woman could also apply to the virtuous man. But the inventory was set up so that 30 attributes of the virtuous woman could be seen, sometimes by inference, which could suggest a similar 30 for a man as well. That a woman portrays this is very much in line with the earlier statements in Proverbs that portray wisdom as a woman, and thus Proverbs 31 could be saying Lady Wisdom reflects the virtuous man as well as wisdom. Virtue is not specific to either gender. My counseling inventory thus takes these 30 attributes as a point of comparison. Each spouse or potential spouse evaluates the degree to which they exemplify these traits in their own lives, and then evaluates each aspect of the virtuous spouse in the other person. When both the man and the woman do their evaluations, you can compare his view of himself with her view of him in all 30 dimensions. In addition, you have her view of herself, which can be compared with his view of her in the 30 areas. Here I must admit that the 30 attributes are not the final number, as I suspect the more translations you have to draw upon, the more characteristics can be inferred. God's Word has many levels of understanding, even though the basic foundational meaning is perhaps less complex. Except when it's not. We must avoid limiting the Holy Spirit's guidance in providing insight. So picture in your mind how this inventory is arranged. The attribute reveals what is the ideal or at least desirable characteristic of a person. That's the first column. In the second column is a response to the attribute. Does my spouse or prospective spouse have this quality? In my original inventory, I provided 3 options: usually, sometimes, or rarely. Then in the third column, the question is, do I have this quality? With the same 3 options: usually, sometimes, or rarely. Is it fair to speak of the virtuous spouse for this passage rather than insist that it is about the woman exclusively? Second, is it appropriate to attempt an evaluation of the degree to which self and spouse or prospective spouse fits each characteristic? And third, is there much to be gained by comparing his view of her and her view of her, as well as her view of him and his view of him? So, let the discussion begin. Now I'm going to go through my 30 characteristics from studying Proverbs 31. As a listener to this podcast, I hope you have studied this chapter as well and have come up with your understanding of the chapters in addition to what you've heard. We have much to share as well as much to learn, right? We will go verse by verse and see what qualities seem to be suggested here. Starting with verse 10, we find mention of noble character. The person is exemplary, a good example for others. This first quality is really a title for the list, as it implies virtue. You might look up that word in the dictionary. The second quality of the ideal or desirable spouse is also in verse 10. They are seen as worth a great deal by their own spouse. Of course, this can reflect as much about the person who values the person as the person himself or herself. Verse 11 describes the virtuous spouse as fully trustworthy. They take responsibility, but they don't try to take over. Also in verse 11 is the implication of financial security. Heavy indebtedness is sometimes acquired with a spouse, and it can weigh down a marriage, that's for sure. Verse 12 speaks of the person bringing out the best of the spouse. This may imply loving support, but not encouraging negative qualities in the process. Verse 12 also mentions the willingness to help the spouse for the rest of their life, not being a parent, but being a partner. Verse 13 describes working with their hands around the house. I don't want to read too much into this, but I picture the person being ready to get their hands dirty and not retreating to the recliner at all times. Verse 14 emphasizes a willingness to sacrifice for the family. That's the opposite of selfishness, but it doesn't mean one person does all the sacrificing. Those of you with kids know about sacrifice, I'm sure. Verse 15 provides an example of sacrifice. There is a willingness to rise early to do some kinds of work, like feeding the baby or helping to prepare for an early breakfast. Verse 15 also describes being fair to others, or what we call justice. If they are fair with others, they are more likely to be fair to you. The 16th verse is a hot button for many. Spending money wisely. Note that third word, wisely. Lots of people are into spending money, but does the person talk about their purchases and deliberate about their choices? Impulse buying is asking for the spouse to buy impulsively, and that may lead to poverty. Enough said. Now, verse 17, the person is a hard worker, not a workaholic, but also not one who hardly works. This could also imply the value of exercise. Verse 17 also implies that they do their best. And as you know, saying that they do their best needs to be backed up with the effort implied. It's easy to say and not mean. Now on to verse 18. A virtuous spouse uses good judgment. There is a lot about this in Proverbs. They also plan ahead and can anticipate possible problems. In other words, they think ahead and can see what is likely to happen if the present course is continued. But don't expect them to be perfect, and don't expect them to be a prophet, unless, of course, they are a prophet. Verse 19 is perhaps one you haven't thought about. The spouse or prospective spouse needs to be happy being their own sex. Some today might take issue with that, but I think that is at least part of the meaning for verse 19. If they're unhappy being their own sex, what are they going to do? Well, there are options, but do you really want to be a part of that? On to verse 20. The desirable husband or wife is generous to the needy, not consumed with themselves. Now, there are a few people that are generous to a fault, but more often they fail at generosity. The self-centered person may seem interesting sometimes, but when they are consumed with themselves, they may consume you as well. Well, not literally, but they try to take over. That's what I mean. The 21st verse of Proverbs 31 speaks of providing comfort for the family. Yes, that can refer to clothes for the kids, but I see empathy as part of that comfort. They try to feel as others feel. They really try to get out of themselves and into the other person's feelings. Verse 22 describes the good quality of their work. Those that blame others for their own slipshod behavior need help, but they need professional help. An eye to high quality in their work and play can make a lot of difference. Then in the next verse, the honorable spouse builds up their spouse and does not tear them down. Supportive spouses support by seeing the good qualities and making note of them. The fear of put-downs by a spouse undermines the integrity of the relationship. Verse 24 implies that the spouse is able to support the family. This usually means they have a job to supplement the spouse's. But it also means that they can support the family in case of death or disability or other major issues. Two-income families ideally would include the husband or wife, or even both, working at home. The ideal spouse has dignity. They are honored and highly esteemed. It doesn't mean that they wear a necktie when they mow the lawn. I once had a colleague who actually did that. But verse 25 also speaks of being basically happy and optimistic. Some people fall into the trap of trying to make an unhappy person more happy by marrying them. I actually knew a therapist that married a severely depressed client, thinking that they were the answer to the problems. The marriage didn't last long, as they discovered that they were not God. Verse 26 highlights the speech of the person. Are they wise and kind in boasting talk, in how they talk? There are loud families and there are quiet families. Loud families may express anger and resentment in their loudness, yet a quiet family may suggest the possibility of fear and trying to hide problems by their withdrawal. Put a person with a loud family, for whatever reason, with a person from a quiet family, for whatever reason, and you can expect trouble and domination by the louder person. Not always, of course, but people often prefer a home environment similar to how they were raised. Silence can invite abuse or be a cover for abuse, but quiet people can be just fine as well. Verse 27 speaks of the care that they take with things and people. They are responsible. Now, I think I've said that before, but it bears repeating. And they're busy. You don't want a lazy spouse, and you don't want to be a lazy spouse. At least I hope not. There's a lot about that in Proverbs. Verse 28 mentions, again, the praising of the spouse's accomplishments. A good rule is a compliment at least once a day. Verse 30 speaks of being fully devoted to God. I knew a person who read scriptures, prayed, and talked about spiritual things every day while they were dating. The day after they were married, they said, "I'm not doing that stuff anymore." It was heartbreaking. And finally, in verse 31, there is again the emphasis on being a giving person, not being stingy with the money. Do they give to worthwhile causes? Do they give their time to what is most important? And finally, the virtuous spouse receives praise from their family and others. That tends to be a pretty good sign. Maybe they've read Proverbs 31. This is Brother Don.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Gospel Trail.